Hey, thanks for dropping by. Come on in.
Time to retire to the drawing room.
You are in the drawing room once again, and we're not moving a million miles away from classical music. It's a sympathetic drawing room to the muse that we just heard, but this time, an unlikely duo. Folk or pop star, you might call him. I think it's far too simplistic to reduce him to anything like that. But he's very, very good at what he does. Anyway, he's teaming up with a classical musician, and they're unleashing a collaborative effort at the Sydney Opera House later this week, the world premiere of a song cycle for orchestra that is entitled Compassion. But it's so much more than a song cycle, and the ideas behind it are rich indeed, so let's explore them, shall we? Nigel Westlake is the classical musician to which I referred, and Lior, the popular musician who defies categorisation, of course. Gentlemen, welcome to the drawing room.
Great to be here, Walid.
Thank you, Walid. You've officially attained the position of public relations for our project, public relations manager. Thank you very much.
Well, after you've already done the press release. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's a real gig,
for you, we'll rewrite it.
Yeah, oh, good. You might, well, I'm meant to rewrite it, isn't it?
For you, you'll rewrite it.
Yes, thank you very much. How did you guys meet?
We met in 2009. Lior very graciously agreed to perform a charity gig for the foundation that my family formed, called the Smugglers of Light Foundation, which in memory of my son Eli, who lost his life in 2008. And through a mutual friend, we kind of met, and Lior came to St Albans, which is a small country village in New South Wales, and performed a beautiful concert there. And he finished the performance with the ancient Hebrew hymn of compassion, Avinu Malkeinu. And
which, is stunning. I've heard a recording of Lior doing this. We don't have access to one, unfortunately, to play, but it is just spine-chilling.
Yep. And that's exactly what I thought, Walid, when I heard it. I was absolutely transfixed, and as was the rest of the audience, of course, and I was swept away by the power of the piece. And after the performance, I said to him, you know, would you mind if I took a solo recording of you singing that and sort of wove an orchestration around it, just kind of for the hell of it? And he agreed, and, you know, a few weeks later we were listening to it together, and we both could see the potential in the work, and we thought, well, it'd be great to perform it somewhere, but we can't really just play that one piece, we need another one. So it kind of grew from there, and we've just been adding bits to it ever since.
Was born. But before I explore the project, I suppose, Lior, the question is, given that story and how seminal it is, why were you singing a Hebrew hymn in the first place?
It started because this would have been about 10, 15 years ago, before I even released any albums. A friend of mine, he was in a drum and bass band, actually.
Of course, that's where it begins.
Called The Hive in Sydney. And they had this track, and he said to me, he said, hey, I thought it would be really cool if you came in and sang on a track. And I was thinking, you know, how there's that hymn of Avinu Malkeinu, because we'd both spoken about how, you know, it's got this haunting kind of melody to it. He said, it'd be cool if you sang that over the top of this drum and bass thing. And I was like, okay, why not? And so we did it. And every time we did it, we'd sort of embellish it. And it sort of became this, you know, ended up being this kind of 7-minute semi-improvised sort of drum and bass track, which we used to perform. And, you know, we did it a handful of times. It was fun, and that was it. And then a few years later, when I was touring with my first album, I don't know why, but I just thought, I guess drawing from the effect that it had when I was performing it with The Hive, I thought I'd close a show a cappella with it. And it sort of really blew me away at how people connected with it, even though they didn't understand what I was saying. And I thought, oh, they're really picking up on you know, the fact that this is kind of, you know, transmitting a large part of my identity. And that was it. And I just sort of would perform it on and off over, you know, over the years. And then when I played at the memorial concert for Nige and Jan, it just felt like a fitting place to end on something that's sort of stark and powerful.
I love that it begins with a story of a new genre called prog hymn.
I was just before we went on air, I told Nige of your love affair with prog rock.
Yes, but prog hymn. I could get right into that. A 7-minute sprawling prog hymn epic.
Prog hymn. Yeah. I like it.
Very good. And so begins, I suppose we call this an orchestral project, don't we? Looking at compassion as an idea.
Very much so, Waleed. I happened to mention it in passing to a guy called Peter Chorney, who's the artistic advisor of the Sydney Symphony, and he was so taken by the idea, he immediately said on the spot, well, you know, we need to commission this work and we want a full song cycle. And, you know, Lior and I were thinking, well, you know, we could have a couple of songs initially. He said, no, we want a full concert work. So we thought, oh boy, here we go. And so then began the hunt for the text and the whole premise of the work, and, you know, with a few months of throwing around ideas and what are we going to do? What shape is it going to take? And how's the orchestra going to work and stuff? And we kind of sorted through it all and came up with the thing that we're premiering on Friday night.
Well, we're going to hear a little bit of it in a second, but Lior, I might just get you to tell us what you've knitted together, because we're about to play a track, or a bit of a track, called Until You Love Your Brother, which, of course, has nothing to do with a Hebrew hymn at all, but does neatly tell the story of what you're trying to do here.
No. And before I start, Waleed, I'm going to thank you for playing ignorance, because I'll embarrass you on radio and tell the nation, tell the world that you've been such a wonderful help as an advisor to me in this project. So thank you for acting as a conduit, because you do more know more about the project than you would perhaps give out or take credit for.
Yeah, well, so that's the Media Watch moment, Lior. So thank you very much.
Well, in the name of honesty.
Yeah, but no, it's a fair declaration. Yes,
thank you, Waleed. So, look, when we had Avinu Malkeinu, you know, we thought about how are we going to expand this project, and we were set on not putting across a you know, a religious or a political presentation on the notion of compassion, but you know, we felt that we wanted to provide a human centric universal presentation on the notion of compassion. And initially we thought, okay, well, we'll draw from texts of, you know, across several religions and present something universal. And there was something about it that we felt would come across as maybe a little shallow. We couldn't really look deeply into anything by doing that. And then, you know, we thought, why don't we look at the world of, you know, the world of Islam and the world of Judaism and see whether there's texts that share a similarity and that talk about compassion. And as you know, because you acted as my aide in much of the Arabic component, we uncovered some beautiful, rich texts aside from Avinu Malkeinu, none of them, to my knowledge, have had music composed to them, or at least music that's widely known. So we set about the task of writing melodies to these texts that was almost that we wanted it to feel like these were long-lost ancient melodies that had been uncovered.
It's a really interesting image you use. It's not overstated. All I did was chuck some text at you, and you went ahead and did the work. But let's have a listen to some of this. This is Until You Love Your Brother. I suppose it's by Lior and Nigel Westlake, I suppose, because it's that's the collaboration that we're talking about. Now, an orchestral cycle, song cycle, on the theme of compassion, borrowing from Jewish and Islamic texts. Here's a bit of what it sounds like. Thank you. It's haunting stuff. It really, really is. Is that what you were going for, Leo?
Haunting. Well, it's, you know what, the piece consists of seven songs, and each is so different to they're all very different, and we wanted to have celebratory moments, we wanted to have haunting moments, we wanted to have melancholic moments. So, you know, it's a prog hymn. You know, it's a collection of prog hymns, Waleed.
I'm glad you're borrowing my genres now. The next genre you have to embark upon, Leor, incidentally, is stadium jazz.
I'm staying well clear of that.
Oh,
one.
Come on. Have a go.
Sorry. I was going to say, I think they attempted that in Montreux in the 70s. I'm not sure if that worked.
Well, when someone's got to make it work, Leor, stand up. Nigel, was it hard for you working with a popular musician? Have you done that sort of stuff before?
I've never done anything at all remotely like this, Waleed. I've never collaborated on a piece of music. I've been involved in writing film scores, which, of course, involves collaborating with film directors, but not actually with another musician. So it was a very different thing. We were both a bit out of our comfort zone, actually, which added an interesting tension to the process, particularly early on when we were kind of finding the common ground.
Oh, come on, spill the beans. Who was less comfortable?
Well, Leor kind of set the bar early by being disarmingly honest about stuff, and I thought, I can do that.
So, oh, what sort of stuff? I sense some scars, Nigel.
Come on. No, it's all good now. When things were not working, you just turn to me and say, "Yeah, that doesn't feel right." So, yeah. Stuff you.
Wow.
He'd send me melodies, and more often than not, though, I just felt like I was in the receipt of just these beautiful gems of melodic phrases, and I couldn't wait to kind of get started. But, you know, now and then they didn't quite hit the mark. They weren't up to standard of the last one. And, By evolving this communication and imbuing it with this honesty, I think really served the project very well.
But there is a symbolism you cannot escape of the fact that you've chosen Jewish and Islamic texts, and you've kind of described the process of elimination that led you to that point. But are you aware, or do you care, are you conscious of the statement that makes, whether or not you intend it?
Look, that initially was Leor's suggestion, I think, and, you know, that's his heritage, really, you know, Middle Eastern heritage, and it seemed to make so much sense to me that he would want to follow that path. And I love the idea of it and the sort of tension it created and the message that it sent, that basically, you know, all these texts are saying the same thing in different languages from different religious backgrounds, and that was a very powerful thing.
There's no questioning the power. Mm. Yeah, but Leora, are you prepared to enter into Middle East politics at the Sydney Opera House on Friday?
No, not at all. And as I said, this wasn't meant as a political statement. It's a humanitarian statement, and I was very, very selective in the text that I used, and I don't think that. I don't think anyone could look at the texts I've chosen and deem them controversial. You know, they take a very humanitarian focused stance on presentation on how we should treat each other. And I don't know. I didn't do this to be controversial.
I'm not suggesting you did. But there is a powerful symbolism there, isn't there?
Yeah. Look, I mean, to be honest, I did struggle with the idea. I had several conversations with my wife leading up to it, saying, "Look, I just don't think I can." I just don't think I can honestly and accurately present the Arabic pieces. You know, I can't inhabit them. How can I pretend to inhabit them in the same way that I present the Hebrew and in the Jewish pieces? I'm a fluent Hebrew speaker. I was born in Israel. And it was actually my father who made me feel much better about it. He was born in Iraq and grew up speaking Arabic and moved to Israel, and my grandfather was an Arabic teacher. He used to teach go up to the Kurdish villages and teach the Kurds and worked as an Arabic teacher even in Israel. He used to go into the Arabic villages. And,
well, I suppose you,
and he said, well, it's part of your heritage too. You should draw from that.
Yeah, well, you've got the pedigree there. Compassion is at the Sydney Opera House Concert Hall on the 6th and the 7th of September from 8 p.m. Leora and Nigel Westlake, my guests in the drawing room. Gentlemen, thank you. We're off to the news. Big Ideas will be up next. I'll be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow.